I mean, the Aussie Open's already been played, so one slam got in. But remember, that was a big concern. Like, it was the wildfires were going on down in Australia, and there was a big push for them not to hold the tournament in Australia at that time. But yeah, it's two drastically different approaches. Wimbledon just said, we're done. Like, it's not happening. We're not going to attempt it. We're out. And the French Open, they're holding on to some optimism, holding on to some hope that things are going to change. But at this point, we're uncertain in both categories. So again, he's a longtime tennis pro, truly one of the best in the business, broadcasting any sport, but specifically in tennis, and holds the distinction. And it's one that I'm sure he's not he wasn't expecting. But the first guest to come on the show that has also tested positive for COVID-19. He's a New Yorker. He joins us now. Here is Patrick McEnroe. How are you feeling, Patrick?
You know, I'm feeling fine, and it's good to be on with you guys up in the Great White North. You've had some pretty awesome tennis players the last couple of years, so we're all hoping to see them back in action, you know, sooner rather than later. Obviously, this has all hit all of us in a crazy way, but I'm feeling fine. I had some mild symptoms about 10, 11 days ago, so I came down to my basement for a self-quarantine. My wife and my three kids are upstairs. They're doing fine. They're healthy. My wife's been an unbelievable taking care of everybody. And I was able to finally get a test through New York State about a week or so after I had some symptoms. Came back positive, which quite honestly I was a little surprised about. I've been feeling pretty good, and even when I had the symptoms, they were never, knock on wood, that serious, like obviously a lot of people are dealing with. So I'll be down here just a few more days, make it for sure I'm here a full 2 weeks, and then hopefully I'll get the clear to go back with the family. But certainly today that Wimbledon has been canceled wasn't really a shock to those of us in the tennis community. We saw the writing on the wall with what's going on over in England and in Europe that this was likely to happen. Wimbledon also has, I heard you discussing the French Open just before I came on, and the Australian Open. You know, Wimbledon also has the grass courts, which can only be played on for a fairly limited amount of time weather-wise. So I think that factored into their decision to pull the plug on the event for the entire year rather than do what the French Open did, which is, you know, pick another date at the end of the summer, early fall, with the hopes that somehow they could pull it off and hold the French Open after the U.S. Open.
Well, you mentioned the U.S. Open. The way things are going right now, what do you think the likelihood of the U.S. Open happening at the end of the summer?
Well, I've got sources over there at the USTA that, you know, have been trying to be somewhat optimistic to me privately. You know, saying they're, and publicly they've been saying that they're moving forward with their plans, which of course everybody's saying that, whether it's a concert, a sporting event, et cetera. So we all hope that can happen at some point, you know, maybe early this summer or in the middle of the summer. So I've heard 50-50 from my sources for the U.S. Open. To be honest, I think that's pretty generous, with the way this is going, particularly here in the New York area, that will happen. But the other thing you have to remember when it comes to these events like Wimbledon and which was a big factor at the French Open as well, is essentially the preparations are underway months before the event's supposed to take place as far as getting the facility up and ready to deal with the crowds and the players and the media and the fans. So I think that's factored into the Wimbledon decision as well to pull the plug relatively early. But usually right around this time, and when this weather starts changing, getting a little bit better here in the spring in New York, this is around the time that the USTA will start ramping up their preparations for the U.S. Open. So obviously if this is going on and they've only got, you know, let's say a month where things start opening up, that may not be enough time to actually get the facility ready for the event to take place, you know, with the media, et cetera, the fans, the way it normally does.
With Patrick McEnroe, I think I can speak for the three guys on this show. When we think of the city of New York, we think of resiliency, we think of toughness, and obviously New York is probably the epicenter right now in terms of COVID-19 worldwide. It's really going through a tough time, and sports are clearly not on the forefront. But can you envision, can you dream of what the U.S. Open could mean to the city of New York as kind of a rallying cry? If it can actually go off, it can happen. A night match featuring Serena or an American, you know, player on the men's side, what that would mean for New York and how the U.S. Open could lead to a bit of a rallying cry if we can get to that point.
Well, you know what? We should dream about that because I think it's those kind of things that are going to keep all of us going. You know, if baseball is your sport, looking forward to maybe playing some baseball at some point this summer. If you're a hockey fan, I know you have plenty of those up in Canada. You know, maybe the NHL comes back at some point. So definitely. I mean, looking at the videos that I saw today, guys, of Wimbledon, you know, it's, to me, is such a special place in tennis. You know, it's the World Series. It's the Super Bowl. It's the Stanley Cup Finals all rolled into one. So we're going to miss that because you know, there's something unique and special about Wimbledon. So yeah, we can dream, and I think that's what we should do. If any city can pull it off, it certainly would be New York. Based on what we've been through here with Hurricane Sandy, with 9/11, and all the different things that have happened over the years. So there's no doubt that the New Yorkers would rally if the possibility is there for this to happen. And let's hope it can happen. I think tennis is in a pretty tough spot, though, because it's such an international sport, and the players are coming from all parts of the world. So really the only way we're going to see professional tennis come back is if the entire world is back opened up, you know, not country by country or area by area. So I think that may make it a little bit trickier for us to see any professional tennis, quite honestly, in the year 2020.
Patrick, if we could just circle back when you mentioned that you had some symptoms and you went down in your basement, like what did that feel like? And when you tested positive for this COVID thing, did you think, like, how in the world did I end up with this? Or what was your thought process?
Well, first of all, the symptoms I got were, you know, overall fatigue, achiness of the muscles, you know, just not quite feeling myself. And then I did get a fever for a couple of nights. So that's obviously a telltale sign. I had a very mild cough, a little tiny bit of shortness of breath, but nothing serious and nothing that ever had me thinking I need to go see a doctor or I need to go to the hospital. Obviously, I was talking to my doctor and different people that I could get on the phone to get advice. And everybody was essentially telling me, you know, stay quarantined, stay away from your wife and kids. And that's what I've been doing. So when I got the test, I quite honestly, I was a little bit surprised because I really haven't felt any symptoms for probably well over a week now. But that's what they say about this disease. That's so crazy. This virus that, you can be feeling essentially fine, okay, and have the virus in your system. So, as I said, I've been down here a full week and a half. I expect to be here at least a few more days, and hopefully I'll be back up there with my wife and kids before too long. But I just want to, you know, give a shout out to the people that are really suffering, especially in my city and my state, and anyone around the world that's dealing with this, and a shout out to the medical professionals that are going above and beyond to try to help people that are really sick. I'm an example of someone that can get it, which is probably going to be most people that get it, that will be relatively okay, that you can combat this and get through it. But let's all think about the people that are having a much tougher time right now.
Yep, great point. Nothing but health and safety to you and yours, Patrick. You'll get through it. We look forward to seeing you on the other side. And as always, thank you for doing this.
My pleasure, and all the best to you and to all your listeners out there. And you keep up what you're doing because we need some entertainment on our radio station. So thank you.
You got it. You got it. We will. Thank you, Patrick. There he is.
Bye-bye.
Patrick McEnroe. Always great to catch up with him. This one, that's a unique conversation, though, man. That's the first guy we've had on that has tested positive for COVID-19.
Yeah, I didn't really want to kind of dig that up, but I thought it just, I don't know, I just thought it had to be asked, like, what did you feel and what was it like when you found out? I mean, you'd be thinking, where the hell did I get this from? Who did I get it from? Where was I? Who was near me? It would just be, everything would be running through your brain, right?
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. Exactly. And in reality, you probably aren't going to find out.
Now
that it's spreading through communities. It's not like you could say, well, I got it through the airport, or I got it through, you know, I was in Italy or China or whatever. Yeah. Now
it's like when you lose something, Brian, you're backtracking and saying, did that guy on the bus take it? Did the guy in the store, did he take it? Did that, you know what I mean? When you lose something, you're frantically just going over things. Where did I leave it? Who took it? Did that guy take it that I saw in the grocery store? It's a crazy way of thinking.
Yep, it is.